Boost Radio.
Well, welcome to the Julie B. Show right here on Boost Radio, and I have live on the air Mr. Troy Stetna. How are you doing tonight, Troy?
I'm good. How are you, Julie?
I'm doing very well myself. So, the last time that we talked to you, you didn't have your CD out yet.
Yeah, that's true. Yep, that's done. Finally out. We got the CD release show Saturday, and along with it came the Fret 12 DVD that has just come out as well, and this is also the release party for that, and something else going on too. What is that? Oh, I'm doing a masterclass workshop at the venue before the show.
Right. That's awesome.
Kind of a big day.
I think a big day. I would think that's going to be. I'm really shocked that you're doing something like that. Because doesn't that take a little bit out of you before the show?
Not really. I mean, I do it kind of low key. I just I like to keep it informal, and then I make it just talking for an hour, you know, and bringing people up and kind of talking about music and guitar and how they connect to each other and so forth and how to do it a little better. So it's kind of, if anything, it probably gets me going more because I get a warm-up anyway before a show, so it's a good warm-up.
Right. Oh, I understand that. I do. So, back in, I guess, the 70s is when you started to play guitar, am I correct?
Something like that.
Something like that? The 80s, maybe?
Yeah. I started playing when I was 12, so it was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been late 70s.
Okay, see, I was right.
Yeah.
And what
I still love 70s rock. 70s rock rules. I did a lot of the, when I was kind of honing technique and everything, I was into, you know, more of the 80s or the early 80s players at the time, but it was really the 70s rock that I liked listening to most.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what got your interest in playing the guitar?
Oh, that would be Kiss.
Kiss did that?
Absolutely.
Seems like Kiss does that for a lot of people.
Yeah, you know, Kiss appeals to 12-year-old boys somehow. I still like them, though, really, you know. The early stuff, I don't know, the presentation and the sound of it and everything. I remember I was when I was a little kid, I remember hearing the radio one day. It was an AM station. Still can remember sitting in my friend's basement, and the AM radio was playing over in the corner, and Rock and Roll All Night came on the radio. I remember turning and hearing that, and it was like, it sounded totally different than anything else that was ever on that radio station, because it was, you know, 70s pop. It was, you know, I don't know, but all those pop songs that I got so sick of, never would get that much attention to, but then that came on, that guitar, I heard it, and I was like, that's cool, what is that, you know, and I didn't play, still didn't get a guitar for a year or so after that, until a friend of mine, I went over to a friend's house one day, and he had a bass guitar, and he was playing Iron Man, the Iron Man riff, Sabbath, and he said, you should get a guitar, and I thought about it, and I thought, you know, you're right, let's do that. So, I started teaching myself how to play and played by ear. And I guess Kiss was good, too, because it was simple to pick out, you know, relatively simple to learn by ear.
Right.
And, so it was a good start.
Right.
Then Aerosmith was big in my, the early stuff, the Rocks album, Stories in the Attic, that kind of stuff. And then who else back then?
What about Rush?
Well, pretty much all the 70s rock, you know, started getting into all of it.
Right. That's pretty cool. So you didn't want to continue on with the way that your family was going in the cycling?
Well, you know, when you're a kid and, you know, your family sort of like that's what they do, you just kind of do it. And that's kind of what it was. You know, my dad raced. He raced cars. He raced bikes. He speed skated. He was a hyper-competitive guy and did all this kind of thing. And so I was the youngest. I have three brothers. And so my oldest brother made the Olympic team when he was 18. And pretty much for about 10 years, he and my next oldest brother dominated the sport cycling in the United States. And so I was younger, but I raced in my division, and we'd go around all over the country and race. And so I kind of grew up in it, and I did well. Mm-hmm. You know, I won the nationals. I got a couple seconds, and you know what? I liked racing. I just didn't like the training. You know, and you don't win unless you train well. And so I kind of made myself do it, and I guess I learned how to be self-disciplined and all from that. But I never really loved doing it.
Okay.
So, you know, when I was 18, I decided to jump into music because I had been playing guitar for a while, and I just said, you know, I don't want to do that anymore. At some point, you have to commit to doing something more than a hobby. You know, to do it well, you really have to commit to it. And I didn't really feel like committing to racing at that point. And I committed to music instead. And he wasn't too happy about that, but well, it worked out.
Yeah, it definitely did work out for you because, wow, I mean, I was looking and, you know, we've been following you for quite a while here at Boost Radio, and you have an enormous amount of books out.
Yeah, I've done a lot of work for Hal Leonard. Started with them, probably was late 80s. I wrote these heavy metal guitar methods for them. And then they did very well. You know, they standardized. At the time, it was a popular style, but there was no, you couldn't learn how to play, you know. There was no standardized, you know, curriculum or, you know, nobody teaching it. It wasn't what it is now.
Right.
In fact, when I was learning how to play by ear, I had to play by ear because there was no sheet music that would show you how to play.
Right.
There was no tab. It didn't exist, you know. You had piano transcriptions. If you had a transcription at all, it was like arranged for piano, which was virtually useless, you know, for guitar. And let's see, where was I going? Losing my train of thought. Kind of tired here today. What did you ask me?
I was saying about your books.
Oh, yeah, books. So, okay, I wrote their main books, and they started, you know, using them a lot, and a lot of teachers and students used them, and we revised them in the 90s, and they still sell well. And then I wrote, I've done probably about 40 of them at this point. I kind of lose track, but sometimes it's harder to keep track than you might think because, like, I did a DVD shoot for Hal Leonard last year, and it came out, it's coming out, and sometimes they'll take these things and they'll put them out in different products.
Okay.
They'll mix them up, so that kind of adds to the number of products that are out there.
Right.
But Speed Mechanics for the Guitar was the big book that I did. It came out in 1990, and that still sells really well. It kind of breaks down guitar technique, you know, high-level guitar technique, and it shows you what you need, how you need to approach practicing and understanding it if you really want to develop a good skill set.
Right. Getting on to some Second Soul. When you were sitting down with, oh my God, now I'm having a brain fart, with Mark Tremonti.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, you were like showing him different styles of guitar playing, correct?
Well, what happened was I was writing for Guitar One magazine.
Okay.
Doing columns and stuff, and Mark was in Creed, and whenever Creed and, you know, Mark was on the cover of Guitar One, they had their biggest, you know, newsstand sales. He holds the record of any Guitar One over the 10 or 15 years of the magazine. You know, when Mark was on the cover of it, that's the record of the most they ever sold.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really popular, and so they did a couple of in-depth interviews with him,
mm-hmm.
and the guy who was the editor-in-chief, Al Leonard, the publisher, had something to do with Guitar One, and the guy who was the editor-in-chief was a creative director, Al Leonard, so I worked with him, and I knew him very well, and I was writing for the magazine. Well, I went in there one day, and he said, hey, you know, I asked Mark in this last interview, you know, if he liked any instructional books, you know, anything, did he ever use anything, what do you like, did anything stand out, and he said, oh, okay, I love this Speed McKessler lead guitar by that Troy Stettner guy. So he said, oh, yeah, he still writes for us, so he kind of hooked us up, and we started talking, and within a period of a year or so, I guess, I wound up meeting him, and then, which was kind of a trip at the time, I met him here, and I'm in Milwaukee, and so went to the arena. Creed was playing on the Weathered Tour, and I went there to meet him, and I walked up and, you know, meet him, and then the guy's in the band, and he walks up onto the stage, and they're doing a sound check, and he pulls me up there on the stage and hands me his guitar. He goes, hey, show me some shred.
Oh, very so cool.
I said, I don't know what to do, but yeah, it was fun. Played for 10 or 15 minutes in the empty arena. But that was fun.
Sure.
Because I never did that much live playing. I've done, you know, some, but mostly I was always recording. It was my main thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Mark, after that I was teaching him what that was really about, just, you know, lead technique, soloing technique, and getting around the fretboard and understanding the fretboard better, you know, that kind of stuff.
Okay. And then in return, he was helping you with songwriting, am I correct?
Well, after I was there a couple of weeks, I kind of thought to myself, you know, why don't, you know, I used to have bands and stuff, and I stopped all that. Didn't seem to work out. They ran into roadblocks, you know, and finally I just kind of gave up on it. And when I was down there, I was thinking, you know, he's having a hell of a lot of fun doing this, and that's really what I started playing guitar for anyway.
Right.
I said, and I thought, I should start writing again. I should put a band together. So I asked him, I said, you know, if I brought some arrangements to you, would you comment on them, tell me what you think, and, you know, and he goes, sure. So I started doing that, and he told me the first singer I had, he was like listening to him going, nope, you know, and then I think you need to keep looking. So then we went through another singer, and things looked good. He at one point brought that up to wind up, and then she shot that singer down, didn't really like him, and that singer quit, and we went to another singer, and we auditioned, and so basically, that whole thing started like 8 years ago.
Wow.
You know, and one of the songs on this record was written back in 2003. It was the first batch. We probably wrote and recorded 50, 60 songs and went through these different singers. I mean, over this long period, went through so many different singers. Finally found the right singer in 2005. And then, right when everything was really getting cooking and we had the management lined up and then things were going to happen, and then my private life kind of took a major detour, and we had to, basically the band broke up,
mm-hmm.
And we had no idea, well, I mean, at
Right.
But, you know, it came to an end, and we decided to get back together and finish the record, you know, because at the time, back in 2005, it was listed for a record deal, and we were going to go that standard route, and then when we got back together, we just decided, you know, screw it, we're just going to produce it ourselves.
Nice.
And here we are.
Yes. Well, since we're talking about Mark, he is on the song, he does the outro, am I correct, on the song Burn?
Yeah, he's playing lead, trading lead phrases with me on the outro.
Okay.
So we're going back and forth.
Nice. Now, is there a story behind that song?
Well, there's a story behind every song.
Right, right. Well, I know that. So tell us, what's the story behind that song? And then what I'll do is I'll play it.
Oh, Burn?
Yeah.
Burn is kind of about embracing, well, I can tell you, you know, Scott, you know, brought Burn to the table and wrote the bulk of it. And then, you know, we worked together, so everything's a composite. But basically, so to some degree, you know, he may have a slightly different interpretation, you know, than I do. But mm-hmm. basically, I would just say that it's about embracing the need for your own self-expression to live the life that you know you need to live, and the fear or whatever that stands in the way of it, you basically have to let it be consumed and go ahead and let it burn down so that you can live, you know, that new truth, and that's it may be a really painful process, but the song is basically about surrendering, going through that dark night of the soul thing, and then surrendering to that process so that you can come out the other side stronger.
Wow, how awesome is that? Well, what I'm going to do for the listeners right now is I'm going to play Burn, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more. Okay, everybody, I'm going to play some Burn, and then we'll come back. Alrighty, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that song, Burn. And we're going to continue our discussion with Troy Stetna. So Troy and I were just talking about some different things. One thing we were chatting about was the Sign Me to Roadrunner Records.
Yeah, that was a strange thing. I just came across that some months back and thought, oh, we should go ahead and set up that profile. And we did, and we were number one in the genre, in the rock genre, for, you know, like the next day. It was a couple of votes, so it's like, there must not be a whole lot of people voting on this thing, you know, it's like mostly the bands voting and whatnot. And then announced it on our Facebook, and then all of our, you know, fans, Facebook fans and so forth were coming on there and voting. And so we were number one for like a week every day, and had the highest rating by far on in the whole genre. And then suddenly, we just disappeared. We were just like, the profile's still there, but we just didn't show up in the chart.
Right.
And the chart shows top 100. And, you know, you get like one vote and you get a four and you're going to be in the top 100. You know, cause it only took a couple of votes to put us number one, really. And we still had the highest rate. So I was wondering for a while, what the heck? You know, I think I figured is that they had to penalize us for something. But of course, we don't know what they penalized us for. They don't even really show the rules. But I think that, you know, maybe we get too many high votes and they thought that we were rigging the system or faking it. Because maybe we have a bigger following than
the rest of them do.
I don't know. But whatever. I don't know how important that really is. It was fun, and if it was something that, you know, brought us to their attention, then it would be good. There's many ways to get different labels' attentions, and I'm sure that we're going to get distribution at some point this summer, because we have a bunch of we have some tour opportunities potentially lining up. There's nothing set in stone. There's nothing. It's a really hard nut to crack. You know, it's an expensive process. We were just talking about that. And people don't realize, you know, really how much is involved to get going. But like I said, to put a minimum of 10 people in a bus on the road and gear moved around isn't pretty expensive. And there's a lot of logistics to cover. And, you know, it doesn't just happen automatically, you know. So, anyhow, that's a story of one. That's the story of Sign Me to Roadrunner. I don't. Also, I know that I still think that no band has actually been signed to Roadrunner from that. So I don't. I don't know how important it really is. But it's fun. It's always fun to be number one.
Well, sure. You know, at least your fans are telling you that they think that you are number one, and I think that's really what's most important right there, is your fans.
Yeah, and that's the bottom line, is that if we put stuff out and you know, a lot of people that listen to it like it enough, get excited about it, you know, want to see the band, well then, hey, let's move forward, you know, because without that, you know, we can't do anything.
Right.
You know, the band's only as popular as its support. And fans are everything. And that's one of the reasons this day and age is so hard to launch a band, a new band, is because so many people, well, there's so much music out there and so many options and entertainment opportunities and everything else that people, by and large, a lot of people expect to be able to listen to their music for free all the time, don't want to pay for it. Well, that makes it really even that much harder to turn it into a business that can pay for itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not impossible, but it is definitely harder to do it now than it was 10 years ago.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane.
We, you know, if you look at any band's success story, what you always find is that there was some unusual thing that happened somewhere along the line,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, you know, we have a number of those kind of unusual connection situations as well that are seeming to be, you know, that we're working on. And if they pan out, then they can work.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So, I have a couple of questions here. Somebody in the chat room was wondering if you would do any slower songs, I guess more of the ballad type songs.
Well, there are two of them on the record, actually. And, so, I mean, yeah, we do. In fact, I think that our style is mostly, it's pretty heavy, hard rock for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Although, tempos are kind of slower, typically. We don't play, you know, I mean, we got some upbeat stuff, but what you're saying is the more melodic-driven stuff and the softer stuff.
The more romantic ones, she is saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, we actually have some of that. So there's two on the record, and there's a number of other stuff in the hopper, so to speak.
Oh, good.
And you know, I do some other music too, but you know, in the context of Second Soul, I think that in the future we're going to see a little bit wider variety, like some faster stuff and some lower stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, now the one slower song that I'm thinking of on the CD would be Beautiful. Is that one of the ones that you're talking
Beautiful,
about?
Beautiful and Still Photo Day are probably the two, you know, relatively, you know, they're not as, in, you know, I mean, well, how can you put it? They're relatively softer for us.
Yes, that I would say, that is true. Okay, since now we're talking about more songs, what's behind Still Photo Day?
It's a song about losing someone, and so it's a kind of looking at the sentimental remembrance, and there's kind of a turn at the end of it,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a realization that death may not, in fact, be as final as we think it is.
Right. Right. Now, how about your song Beautiful? Because that's got to be one of my all-time favorites on the whole CD. Of course, I've told you before, I like the heavier stuff, but Beautiful just, I don't know, it just kind of like hits me.
Yeah, that's another looking at, it's about looking at the past, but choosing to find what was good in it,
okay.
and hold that in the present.
You know,
in other words, I'm just going to look and see what was good, and I'm going to focus and hold that in my mind. That's kind of, that, to me, that's what the message is. Now,
that's another.
You know, Scott brought that one to the table as well, and wrote pretty much that one. So, and again, everything was a collaboration is the word I'm looking for, but to a degree. But of course, you know, some of them came in pretty well developed by one of us or the other.
Right.
It was my song Beautiful, Scott's song, and then of course we worked together to make it what it is.
Well, sure, I understand that. If you don't mind, I'm going to play a song or two and let the listeners listen, because, well, I have to take a little break, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay.
Sounds good. I'll be here.
talking about? I just like lost.
We were talking about balance, I think.
That's right. That's right.
Beautiful.
And still photo day. What on the whole album? I know that you've told me this before in several conversations that we've had in the past. But you know, age kind of catches up with everybody.
You're admitting, huh?
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, it does. But what other than, I know you were just talking, saying that Still Photo Day was one that you had put, you know, that wrote. What other songs on the CD did you write?
Well, let me think here. Well, when you say write, mm-hmm. you mean like including lyrics, or most of the lyrics?
Most of the lyrics, yes.
Yeah, because there's a lot of cases where I may have written music or you know, most if not all the music, but either didn't write the lyrics or only wrote a tiny portion of them. I don't really consider those my songs, though, because, you know, they didn't really, well, they may have, the music may have originated. Okay, Shine Down, you know, is one. Let's see, Deceiver and Invincible.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'd have to look at a song list to remember.
Okay, well, obviously you start. Okay, I can tell you. Okay, we have Flight, which is Flight of the Bumblebee, which I know you like to play more of the classical music. Am I correct?
Oh, I used to play all sorts of stuff. I mean, I went through this long phase. I got into Bach, and then the Paganini violin caprices, and then Vivaldi, and Beethoven is my favorite composer by far.
Nice.
And I covered, in fact, with this drummer, I had covered a piano sonata and guitar, bass, and drums. And we even talked about possibly playing it up to show on Saturday, but, you know, the time constraints and everything, it seemed a little too far afield. But, you know, maybe we'll do it at some point.
Troy, Flight is only like a minute and 20 seconds. 20 seconds. A minute.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's short. Yeah, that's just a little short intro, so we stuck it on there. It's fun to play.
Yeah, so why wouldn't you play it?
Oh, well, you know, some of these other things are a little more progressive, adventurous, you know, a little more outside the, you know, Flight. The way we arranged Flight, you know, is kind of, you know, it's a real, it's a short but really kind of brutal metal thing, you know, the rhythm parts and everything. Real aggressive. So it's a good showpiece, you know?
Right.
And some of the other classical stuff, I don't know if it's a second Toll show, as we gotta get to the bottom line.
Okay, I understand.
So, you know, we might toy with that, but, you know, this is the first show that we're doing, so we kind of have to see how it goes, we're going to have it. It'll be all videoed. We're going to have, so we'll be able to get it all cut together and look back at it and, you know, see what we think.
You're going to ship me out there so I can come to the show?
Am I going to get you out to the show?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. What would it take? Let's talk.
We can talk
maybe
about
so. That. Are you free Saturday?
I am free all weekend.
Well, why don't you come on out?
Well, it's this thing called money, and
okay.
And a flight.
So you have enough gas for the gas tank, or is that a problem?
I have enough gas for the gas tank, yes.
Okay,
but,
so you just
need
like a good dinner and an overnight.
That's right.
Well, I could probably find something for you.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to talk about that then.
Okay. Good.
I'll
have to hook you up here.
I would love to come out. I seriously would.
Well, we'd like to have you.
Speaking of the show, this is also your DVD release.
Right. Yep. The 12 did a guitar guitar instructional DVD. I almost hesitate to call it guitar instructional, though, because it's not like instructional guitar used to be. They did the first one for Mark Tremonti, and the second one was Leslie West, and mine is the third, and it's a series called The Sound and the Story, and they did a really nice job. They did video the way it's supposed to be done, and they did in-depth interviews, and it goes way beyond. I mean, mine is like 3.5 hours long.
Holy
crap.
So
it's like, yeah, it's a lot. It's not, you know, it's not like, okay, here, I'm just going to show you, here's my lick, you know, play this, you know.
Right.
There are, you know, it does get detailed into, you know, exercises and music and showing, but what I did in this one is I showed conceptually what it takes to take your playing to a higher level,
mm-hmm.
and how to go about that, how exercises work, what you should do, you know, dispelled a lot of myths that misunderstandings people have about it. And so I think I'm really proud of this DVD. It totally stands alone. There's nothing in the marketplace like it. And I think over time, people will come to see it'll come to stand, you know, similar to the way Speed Mechanics finally did. It's, you know, a lot of people consider that a classic work that's still relevant 20 years after it's written, and I think this DVD is going to do the same.
I noticed you have a lot of videos out there on YouTube showing people different styles, your methods, I guess is the best way to put it, of playing.
Yeah, some of those I wish would just go away, but some of those old, there's some old ones up there, like that I did for Hal Leonard way, way back in the day.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking kind of dorky.
Oh, no.
Really.
Oh, no. You're still handsome.
So, I'll tell you what, here's what we need to do. We need to put like a ton of new stuff up, you know, footage from the band and everything, and then all that old stuff will just get buried by the good stuff.
True.
How's that?
That's a really good idea, because that was something else I was going to ask you about was, are you guys going to come out with any kind of videos for people? Because, you know, like, we are at Boost, especially DK and myself, we're constantly putting out different things on different bands, showing so that people can actually hear you.
Sure.
And I think that's a good way to get the word out about people.
Well, this show is being filmed, and I'm not exactly sure, you know, what all of the uses are going to be, but a lot of promo, you know, we'll probably get some kind of video for sure. And, you know, I'm not sure. We have management just coming on board now and working with us and kind of finalizing things. And so I don't know, you know, exactly what the sequence of events will be, like when that will happen. I'm sure that it'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's about, you know, making sure all the priorities are getting in the right order, I guess. And,
yeah.
You know, I don't know how to do all that stuff. I'd just rather play the guitar, frankly.
I understand that.
Play music and play the guitar. Show me where to stand. Take care of the rest of it.
That's funny. There's a question here in chat. They want to know, and they say, have you played a Mark Tremonti signature guitar?
Yes.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go, guys. You have your own. I don't know how to come back on that one.
I suspect there's a follow-up question there.
Actually,
like,
no.
What did you think?
Yes, exactly. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I love PRS guitars, and I have two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I play Mark's guitars on, you know, whenever I hang out with Mark, which is, you know, fairly not too, it's not uncommon. And so, you know, basically the Tremonti, I think what you're talking about is the Tremonti SE model. I think it's a good playing guitar, you know. It doesn't use as expensive a woods or whatever as some of the others. I mean, you know, no, it's not everything that $1,000 models are, but they're still very good guitars. And, you know, I like them. I can play. I can play just about anything. You know, you just kind of get accustomed to the differences and whatnot. I can't remember off the top of my head. You know, I couldn't give you a rundown of what the differences seem like to me specifically, because I think the last time I played one of those was maybe a year or more ago. But I think there'll be some at the show. And, you know, maybe so if you ask me next week, I probably have a real answer for you.
Okay. Okay. Another question is, have you worked with Miles Kennedy?
Have I worked with him? No. I like Miles and have hung out with him on a number of occasions. I asked him originally when we were doing Burn, and I was sending it down there. Mark was working with Miles, and I wanted both of them to, all three of us, to be trading lead licks. And Miles, I'm told, took a crack at it one day and wasn't happy with what he was putting down and didn't feel like he was playing fast enough or something. I don't know. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I like Miles' guitar style, and I was thinking he'd play his style, not try to, you know, do what I or Mark are doing. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of disappointed when he kind of like threw in the towel on it and was like, no, man, I can't, I'm not going to do this. So anyway, maybe next time.
Okay.
Next time I'll get down there and get in the room and, dude, you're going to play on this. I'm not going to leave. You cannot leave until you put a solo down.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Well, now the next question for that was, how do you feel about him as a guitar player?
Miles?
Yes.
I like his, I like melodic stuff. I mean, it's funny that a lot of people would consider, I don't know, that term shredder comes up a lot, and so people will call me, oh, you know, a shredder or something, and, you know, I guess that's true, but I never really think of it that way. To me, the concept of, you know, shred means, like, you know, technique, and I feel like I have technique, but I never sought to play for the point of having technique or to play fast. I feel like I just seek to play music the way I want to hear it, and then it's my job to have a good enough technique to get that across.
Right.
So all I feel like I'm ever doing is playing guitar, playing music, and it's always driven by melody, by that internal voice, you know, that, you know, I hear everything that I play as I play it. And so, you know, it's the same thing that when you sing, it's your internal voice, you know.
Right.
That you're listening to, and so it's the same thing on guitar. Now, some of it just happens to be faster, you know. Now I'm getting distracted now. What was that question?
They wanted to know how you felt about Miles as a guitar player.
Miles, yeah. So, the reason I brought all that shred stuff up is I was answering the question. The reason I brought it up, are you laughing at me again?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right, well.
I'm sorry. You know I love you, Troy. And I'm just laughing with you.
And you're lucky. No, I'm kidding. So, anyway, Miles, you know, he doesn't play as fast as the bottom line of what I'm getting to.
Right.
But, you know, I like that, and very often I would rather hear a well-executed melody line that is compelling and pulls me with it than a bunch of notes. I don't think fast stuff, in fact, I get tired of fast stuff if there's no contrast.
Right.
And that's one of the things then in Ultra Bridge I like is the contrast that they have between, you know, between the two. Well, at least live, they do that a lot.
Right.
And so I look forward to hearing his stuff. And I like that kind of blues-inflected lead style.
Right.
Okay, here comes the dirty stuff. Somebody says they need the dirt for your fans, like your favorite foods and subject for songs.
They want what?
They say, Troy, I need dirt for your fans. Favorite food,
dirt.
Subject for songs. Yes, dirt.
My favorite. Okay.
And this is not coming from me.
Okay. No, let's see if I'm understanding. Well, dirt is, I'm not sure that qualifies as dirt, but.
I know. She's saying, come on, spill, like your favorite foods and the best subject.
Favorite foods. I can tell you this. I like all, just about like every food except American.
Oh.
So I like, all different kinds of ethnic foods from everywhere. Mm-hmm. Although, I do bugs and stuff like that. So
oh, yeah.
I'm not that, like, you know, I saw the Bizarre Foods guy the other day on TV, you know, and I'm like, I'm not that crazy. But, I mean, I love Indian food and Chinese and Japanese and, and Greek and Italian and French and, you know, not much for English food, you know. I don't think the British have really figured out food. But apart from them and American, American food, I'll tell you what American food is. American food is vast quantities of bland and salty, tasteless, mushy food.
You know what? You're right.
Yeah, it's all going.
You really are. Yes, because they're
so
like...
Does that qualify as dirt?
I guess so. I would think so. Because they're like, oh, no hot dogs, no hamburgers, no chocolate shakes.
I don't like hamburgers, no. And, not hot dogs, no, not a fan. I mean, I don't actually eat that much. So, yeah. I don't know.
I know. I remember one of our conversations before that we had, you were telling me that you're like, God, I need to eat. I'm like, yeah, you do.
I used to be a vegetarian for like a dozen years, you know, when I was younger, and then I finally got over it. And, now I eat whatever. But,
okay.
You know, I do like to try and eat better food. I don't like to have to eat fast food all the time. And,
no, I don't like fast food either. No. That stuff is so nasty because it's so chocked full of preservatives that are so bad for you. It's so nasty.
I have no idea what's in it, and you probably don't want to know, so
exactly.
Try to avoid it. But, you can't always avoid it, especially when you're traveling a lot.
Right.
I love to travel, so,
Well,
food is sometimes tough.
Yeah, it is. Well, we have another question. It says, how did you guys, Second Soul, I guess, come up with the logo?
That is the brilliance of Dan Tremonti. Dan is Mark's brother, and Dan is president of Fret 12. And he helped us. He did art for the album, and he's great, and he knows how to really evoke. So we talked about what the music's about, and he listened to it for a while, and he really got, he got that, that whole thing on a pretty deep level, and put it into the whole, put it into the whole thing, and we looked at it, and we were like, yeah, that's it. No.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice, I like the logo. But
yeah, I love it.
Yeah, they're saying that the logo is tight in the chat room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all really happy with it. And I'll tell you, we got these. I just picked up banners today for our show, and we got some big logos.
Oh, okay. So I'm supposed to tell you, I'm supposed to keep putting the pressure on you from Chad.
Okay.
I don't know what that means. I don't see him in the chat room, but they're saying, Julie, this is Chad from SS. Keep putting the pressure on Troy.
Putting the pressure on me?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, I don't know, Julie.
I don't know.
You try that and you see what happens.
I don't know.
Okay, now somebody wants to know.
I might turn the table back to you. I don't know.
Don't you dare do that.
Start asking me questions.
Hey, you know what? I'm an open book, so that's all good.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Now, we have more questions. I guess you must have somebody who really likes you in chat because they want to know how old you are.
I don't want to say.
I know you don't. I know how old Troy is.
It's on the internet if you really want to know.
Yes.
You can look it up.
And Troy's not much older than
Thankfully, I don't think I am that old, though.
No,
you know, that's what the chronology shows, but I don't look it and I don't feel it. And I certainly don't act it.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Not at all. This is a good question because I was wondering this myself at one point of time. How tall are you?
I'm 6'1".
Wow, okay. No, and the next question I am sorry I'm not going to ask. That one is just no. Yes, I am a wuss. That one's just not good.
Okay.
That was not good. So, real quick, do you have anything else that you want to say to the listeners about anything?
Sure. I guess what I would say is that reaching out and connecting to fans, I mean, if you like what we're doing, then we need to know that, and the way we need to know that is to get on our mailing list, because if you're not on our mailing list, then we don't know that you exist. We don't know that we have a fan, wherever you are. And until we have enough people on mailing list in certain areas, I mean, that's kind of, to a large degree, it would dictate which areas we can go into. Totally. I mean, if we get a good tour spot, you know, we would just go because we're going to be in front of a lot of people wherever we go. But, you know, being able to connect with the fans, tell them what's going on, you know, tell them where we're going to be, you know. It's kind of a shame. I've got a lot of guitar fans around the world, but I don't have the ability to connect to most of them still.
Right.
And so I can't put 100 or 200 people, you know, in a room somewhere, which means I can't go there,
right.
You know, until I can do that. And, you know, some places I can, but we need more. Now, if all of our fans that were really interested in seeing us were on our mailing list, we'd be touring right now.
Exactly.
So I would encourage everybody to go and get on that mailing list. And how you do that is you can just go to second-soul.com. So it's second-soul.com, and then there's a join mailing list box right there.
Right. And can't they also do the same thing on Reverb?
Well, actually, that's powered by Reverb Nation. So
okay.
When you enter that box, that's, you know, it takes you to, well, I don't know whether it takes you to Reverb Nation, but it goes to the Reverb Nation database, which is what's housing our database for email list.
Gotcha. All right, I have one last question for you, Troy.
Sure.
They would like to know, what is your dream guitar?
Well, it'd be the Tri-Stepper Signature model, obviously. I think it would be a PRS.
Right.
So, you know, we got to sell a whole bunch of records and do a bunch of tours before I get that, apparently. But I don't know. Maybe it's not that far off.
All right, right. I don't blame you. I, you know, I'm surprised that you already don't have one out there.
Well, you know, I never pursued it.
Why not?
That's the reason. Because, yeah, I've got a lot of product out, and then it would kind of make sense that, you know, if I had an endorsement like that, and I probably would have sold a number of them over the years with all those books being used by all these people and liking my playing, but... Yeah, I never pursued it because I wasn't playing live, and I don't have, like, a gear fetish, you know, so I just want what's going to sound good.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm doing, really, is recording and practicing. I only really need one guitar and the amp that I want,
mm-hmm.
And now that it's turning into a live thing, it's like, okay, we have all these different tunes. then so I have to switch guitars, you know. We have four different tunings in the set, basically, and so now I need guitars, and then, of course, you need a backup because you break a string or whatnot, so suddenly you need guitars, and so I'm more interested now, and so PRS is coming through. I'm told that I now have an artist page up at the PRS website.
Oh, so, that's great.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but... But he said that was, it's either up or it's going up.
Well, that's sweet. That's awesome. Anything else? Your show? Where is your show this weekend that you're gonna make sure that I get to go to and I get a dinner and I get a place to stay?
Okay. Well, I'll work on that. We should talk after, and maybe I can figure something out.
I'm just joking.
There are a number of there's a bunch of people staying in hotels around there, so we'll find something. the show. The Saturday, the show is at a venue called Space in Evanston, and it's a very cool venue. It's like it's not really a rock club. They have a variety of acts in there, but it's more, it's kind of a classy place, and it's a nice place. And we're bringing in our whole production, the whole sound and light. It's like kind of, it's going to be suited for rock when we're done with it, that's for sure. But anyway, Evanston is a north suburb of Chicago. It's pretty close to the lake,
nice.
And there's a Northwestern University, I guess, is real close to the venue, and so I'm doing this master class at 6, which is free, 6 to 7, and just talking to people about guitar and whatnot, and then at 8 o'clock, a band called Man Mighty, which is a Chicago area band that is also working with Fret 12.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go on at 8, and then Second Soul will go on at 9 or 9:15 or something like that.
Okay. Sounds real good, Troy. Is there anything else that you want to tell anybody? Because we really hit a lot of things in this past hour.
Yeah, it seemed to go quick.
I know, it does.
It seemed to go quick to me. Hopefully it went quick to the listeners.
Well, we did give them.
I don't know what else I can say. Nothing's coming to mind, so I think we covered it pretty good.
Yeah, I think so. The only thing that people are saying in the chat room is one person, Duchess, would like you to come to Texas, to the San Antonio area.
San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to come to San Antonio, too. I don't know that I've ever been there.
And they're
I've been through Texas. But I don't think I've been to San Antonio.
And now they're saying to Nashville.
Nashville, okay. I've been there.
And
yeah.
And you know.
I want to get that with the band because it's more fun.
Well, sure.
I'm planning to do the same thing I'm doing here, which is I'm doing a workshop and in the venue and then the show.
Good.
That's basically what we want to do everywhere.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And as I've said before, I want you to come to the East Coast. You know where I am, so I think that would be awesome. So we'll keep on working on this, Troy, with you. And you know that Boost Radio is behind you and Second Soul 100% through thick and thin. We will do whatever you ask us. We'll be there for you, right by your side.
Thank you so much.
Well. You have to give to receive, and we don't look for anything. We just want to share the music and make sure that everybody, gets to listen and to share with us.
Mm-hmm. I think that's cool. I'm totally into it. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with y'all.
Sure. Is there a song that you would like to let me finish off the interview with for the listeners? Do I have to give you a rundown of your songs?
No, I think I guess I would have to say
understand. Okay, everybody, I'm going to leave you with more life. And thank you again, Troy, for this wonderful opportunity to speak with you tonight.
Thanks, Julie.
Tonight.
Oh my. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening with our interview that we had with Troy Stetina of Second Soul. And you know what I forgot to do, and I guess I'm going to have to text him. I wanted to let him know that we here at Boost Radio want to present him with an award, or actually I think I'm going to take this out of my own pocket and present him with a trophy if I actually go out here on Saturday to the show. I'll have to give him an IOU, but I want to present him with a trophy or an award of some sort stating that we here at Boost Radio think sorry, DK, it's going to be out of my pocket. Give him a legend trophy, because he is a guitar legend in my mind, and I'm sure in many other minds who are out there listening. So, Troy, if you are listening, Chad, if you are still listening, and I'm sorry, Chad, that I did not see you in the chat room there. Something happened. It just didn't show you. I'm sure it didn't show a lot of people who were in there. But can you let Troy know that we will be presenting him with something stating that he is a legend to us? And I'm going to leave you. God, you guys are crazy in chat. I'm sorry. It's like really putting me off guard here. And that's why I'm like stimming and stammering and everything. And well, why in the hell can't I see him? No, I don't see him. Duchess, I see myself. I see DK. I see Duchess. I see Lead Dog. I see Mooney, and I see Red Rocker. That's all I see. I don't see him. I don't see that name at all. But I'm going to leave you with two of my favorite songs from Second Soul, and that is My Reality and Better Days Running. That is if my Sam decides to work with me properly. And until I speak with you all tomorrow, I hope that you have a blessed day. Well, once again, everybody, I want to thank you so very much for joining us here on our special events with Troy Stetna of Second Soul, and to everybody who joined in chat and our listeners, thank you so much. We greatly, greatly appreciated it. And to Chad, who is also in chat from Second Soul, and DK and Mooney and Duchess, and I'm probably not even hitting on everybody, but thank you so very much. It was a pleasure to talk with Troy, and again, it was a pleasure to bring this broadcast to you tonight. I hope everybody has a good evening, and remember, be good to one another. Until tomorrow, have a good night.